the temple and its dedication. The word temple is an interesting term. It comes from the same root as time, ta. As time is an enclosed period, so a temple is an enclosed space. They both have to do with something that is temporary, transitory. A temple both excludes and includes. It keeps out what is not desirable. It shelters what is desirable. It's a place to remember God. It's a temporary, temporal temple in which, at which, we look forward to that which endures, which is eternal in the heavens. The temple demanded the very best of what man could give. When the children of Israel were building the sanctuary about 480 years before, they had given of their treasures, gold and silver and precious stones and fine linen, and the best of sealskin furs. When David proposed to build the temple, he was going to give of the best that he had. But in a dream, the Lord told him, no, he was a man of blood, and his son Solomon would be the actual builder of the temple. Look up the statements made in Kings and Chronicles, in which David describes the offerings he gives. The thousands of tons of gold and of silver. In the margin he says, I in my poverty could only give this little. Ripley, believe it or not, has calculated that David's contribution amounted to $26 billion in Ripley's day. Just take the gold, the number of talents, multiply the talents by pounds and ounces, and each ounce of gold by whatever the going rate is, and at the present rate of exchange, it will be more like $100 billion, the very best that man could give. Ellen White says that the temple that Solomon built was the most expensive, the most fabulous building that the world has ever seen. And it's tragic that this gold remained in it only for half a dozen years or so after the death of Solomon. For Pharaoh from Egypt came and took away all the gold. But the point of emphasis is that there is nothing too good for God. Nothing too good for God. The second part, the temple preserved the best of the past. It's very significant that there were three items that were found in the sanctuary that were also found in the temple that Solomon built. The first was the ark with the covering of the mercy seat and the two cherubim. Inside the ark, only the two tables of stone were found. Somewhere between the days of Eli and the days of Solomon, Aaron's rod that budded and the pot of manna were removed. Ellen White saw them in the true tabernacle in heaven. The ark was brought into the most holy place and was surrounded by two cherubs made of olive wood overlaid with gold. The point of emphasis is that no change is made in the symbol of the throne of God. It is exactly the same ark that was in the tabernacle in the wilderness that was in the temple in Jerusalem. When Zerubbabel came to rebuild the temple, there was no ark. Jeremiah and some of the pious men in Jerusalem, before Nebuchadnezzar destroyed the temple, took the ark and hid it in a cave near Jerusalem. There it is, still awaiting God's good time. So the ark was preserved. With the ark in Solomon's temple, there was Shekinah and the Urim and the Thummim on the priest's breastplate. These were the items preserved. The visible presence of God, the Shekinah, the guidance of God, the Urim and the Thummim, and the ark, the government of God. These things remained unchanged. Part number 3. In order for worship to be effective, God and man cooperate. God lays down the condition, man accepts. As Solomon noted, if thou wilt, then I will perform. God is telling man, you do your part, I will do the rest. You keep my commandments, you walk in my commandments, I will carry out my promises. And all God's promises are conditional. True worship rests upon man's acceptance with the unchanging, unchangeable requirements and characteristic of God. Point number 4, the worship in the temple began with the prayer for forgiveness. And forgiveness rests upon blood. As the sacrifice was slain, the blood flowed. The blood brought about atonement, and forgiveness followed repentance. Man made the provision, man complied with the conditions, man accepted the sacrifice, and God forgave. In the 5th section, Solomon prayed for evangelism, that the stranger anywhere in the world may come and pray. And he wished that this temple would be indeed a house of prayer for all nations. So when man becomes right through the sacrifice of the blood of the Lamb, and he can enter the very presence of God by faith, realizing the unchangeable character of God's guidance, God's government, God's revelation, then the whole world joins him in worship. Part number 6, the Lord listened to, heard, and answered the prayer. And the temple was filled with the Shekinah, the visible presence of the deity. God is there. The tragedy of all this is that Solomon trusted gradually less and less in God and more in self. The most beautiful building, the best organized ritual, the most profound symbolism, the most often reiterated sacrifice and prayer and worship will do even the wisest man that ever lived no good when he chooses to allow sex and materialism to destroy his concept of the deity. As we think of this temple and its dedication, the temple is gone. Hardly a trace is left. Parts of a few stones. The choirs are silent. The gold has disappeared into many an avaricious, murdering hand. Yet the God there remembered still lives. Is the same yesterday, today, and forever, is worshipped just as effectively today as he was then by those who serve him in spirit and in truth.
This has been another classic sermon from the Archive of American Christian Ministries. This recording has been digitally reprocessed from the original audio cassette or reel-to-reel in order to make this CD available. The audio quality was improved as much as possible. International copyright, American Christian Ministries. All rights reserved. To order a copy of this or other presentations, or for a free catalog, please call toll-free 800-233-4450. International calls dial 717-652-7000. You may also order from our secure website at www.americanchristianministries.org. There you will discover the largest selection of authentic Adventist preaching available. You can trust ACM. There is no compromise here. If American Christian Ministries has been a blessing to you, why not take a moment just now and send us a note or an email with your testimony? We'll share it with our speakers and volunteer workers to encourage them. Your prayers and continued financial support are very important to ensure the continuation of this ministry as we help prepare America and the world to meet Jesus Christ. He's coming soon.